You're listening to a MAGFest special presentation on the Fat Gatsby Network.
Good evening. Welcome to Dave's Late Night After Hours podcast. Hey there, all you guys and gals out there in Loveland. I'm here to pick up your spirits and hopefully raise a few more things. I'm here with my old buddy Aaron Randolph. Aaron, how you doing there?
I am so wet right now.
Also with us here in the room is a prominent member of the GOG, that's Good Old Games GOG community, Eric. Eric, how you doing there, buddy?
Pretty okay.
Well, that's a ringing endorsement if I ever heard one. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Saturday night on MAGFest. It's the last night of MAGFest. Tomorrow is the last day of MAGFest. I got the chance to chat with my good friend Aaron Randolph, who is here representing the Poison...
We're so close.
The Poisoned Pawn, the latest Tex Murphy adventure, We haven't been drinking.
Dave may have had a few.
And
he's no less the sexier for it.
I think when I have a few drinks, I think it makes me more sexy. Mm-hmm. Because then I just, you know, you drop those inhibitions, and all of a sudden, you start to, when you feel empowered, okay, anyway, I feel empowered, you need it, okay, we had to hear about a special project that you are working on related to the Tex Murphy universe, and that is?
Yes. This is separate from the Poison Pond thing for the moment, and I'll explain that in a bit. But on my own, when I heard about the Poison Pond being made, and I wanted to do something for the Tex Murphy community, like I haven't done enough, but no, I'm kidding. But I wanted to do more, and I love board games very much. I love card games. I love board games. I love Euro style board games. I love all of it. And
you designed a Castlevania board game.
No, I didn't design it. That was, I found it on the internet and I had it printed, which, you know, doesn't take much.
Oh, yeah, I completely misread the tenor of your posts then.
No, did not invent that. This one, however, I did. I decided to make a Tex Murphy card game. Yes, it is still very much in the works. It is called Tex Murphy Vehemence. I would probably describe it as being in beta, because I feel like I've got the concept nailed down, so now I just have to finish the game, and then it's time to polish the crap out of it.
Okay. The basic mechanics, how does it work?
If you've played a deck-building game, it will be semi-familiar. You're going to mix a bunch of characters from the Tex Murphy universe. They all have their own character decks, usually 10 to a character. And there's common, uncommon, rare, and ultimate cards, exceedingly more rare as you go. And you're going to mix those in with enemies and puzzles from one of Tex's cases. And then you shuffle the deck and you cut it into 8 semi-equal piles, and you're going to place each one at 8 different location cards. That all have their own power that you can use to help you defeat the enemies in puzzles and recruit the characters that will help you to ultimately stop the evil masterminds from whatever evil thing they are trying to accomplish, depending on what case you're playing. So it's really interesting in that I've learned a lot just playing a bunch of it, because it is exactly as cooperative as I wanted it to be. Like, so many of these cooperative deck-building games, they have a thing where they just ramp the difficulty up higher and higher and higher. Like, Aeon's End is like a constant heart attack. Like, you are constantly just being barraged with bad news, and you're just trying to keep your head above water. But I wanted something that wasn't constantly in your face, but it still kept the pressure on, but it allowed you to collaborate effectively. Whereas most of the time, everyone's just trying to build the best deck they can, not really worried about the decks their friends are building, so that they can defeat the enemies and claim the glory for themselves or whatever. In this case, I found due to the design of the game and the reason that one of the things you can do is if there's multiple players playing, you can leave your character at a location, and you can leave a card at that location that someone else can use. Oh. And what I found happening was for some of the tougher enemies, what people would do is they would talk it out amongst themselves, and they would say, okay, I don't have enough to defeat this guy. Do you? No. Do you? And so what people would do is they would leave a card that would help someone else. And there'd be a stack of cards waiting for them to defeat that enemy. Uh-huh. So it became this really collaborative thing, and not only that, but people started helping each other buy big, expensive cards. Usually when you have a deck-building game like this, people are trying to get the best cards for themselves.
Yeah.
But in this case, people were actually leaving like additional recruit power to help people recruit cards into their deck because they go, this will be better for you. You take it. So I can't afford it, but I have this extra recruit you could use. So I'm going to leave it here for you. And it's amazing. And it's exactly what I wanted. It's this great puzzle that involves both discovering and figuring out what the best combinations are to defeat the enemies and uproot their plans. The only thing I have to do is make it harder. It's a tad too easy at the moment, but I'm working on that.
Difficulty balancing has got to be really, really difficult, and it must take a lot of play testing. And like, well, so the people that you must have play testing it for you, checking it out. It sounds like it's as much a test of the game as it is you're testing them about it. What, how good a person are you? Are you willing to help out and collaborate? It's like an empathy test.
Well, I didn't put any restrictions on anybody. I didn't tell them they had to do these things. You know, I wanted to leave them alone, let them do whatever they did, and it just kind of came out naturally. So I was really happy about that.
Human beings really are good people.
It depends on the situation, you know. Honest to God, like, we were wandering down the hall and we got invited in to take some shots. Was that good? Was that evil? I don't know. It's MAGFest. Take it how you will. But it's very true. And it was so cool to see that come together. So I'm really excited about it. But, and here's the thing, I don't know if I can mention it on the podcast now that I think about it.
We don't have to air this right now. We can hold off and you can let me know when we can air it. Well, but so when you were telling me about the Poisoned Pawn this afternoon, I mean, it sounds like it's a tightly knit community and that the game's creators are receptive to when passionate fans start creating something on their own, and like, this might be something they'd be very open to.
I would say it might be a possibility. You know, it might be a possibility. It would be cool. There's nothing definite. Nobody's promised anything. Nobody. We've just been kind of shooting ideas at each other.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Is it fair to say that I don't play board games?
Okay.
I don't dislike them per se. I don't follow them. I don't follow the different genres and styles and everything. My dad does. My dad is a huge Euro board gamer. He goes to cons. He goes to Dragon Con. He goes to, like, my dad. But my dad doesn't play video games. So when I buy him a present, sometimes I'll think, like, oh, I bet I could pick out a good board game for my dad. I bet I could figure it out. But, like, would that be as stupid as having someone who knows me and being like, oh, David likes video games. Why don't I get him this, what is this? Ooh, Madden 2018. I hear this is very popular. I should get this for him. Like, is it that misguided?
Sometimes.
Okay.
It depends. Like you said, your dad likes Euro games, right? So that's a very specific style of game. You're not going to find a ton of them at your local Walmart or Target. And if you wander into a board game store, you'd have a 50-50 shot at picking something cool, especially if you ask somebody. You know, I'm sure somebody will say, my dad likes Euro games, what would you recommend? They might recommend something. I would just say, try and check surreptitiously to see if he already has it.
The people at my local board game store, I mean, they know my dad. All I have to say is, I'm Al Ottavino's son. And they're like, oh, yeah, no, okay, we got you, buddy.
Awesome, yeah, absolutely. It's the same kind of thing. It's the more knowledgeable you are, the easier of a time you're going to have. You know, so you know, you do run the risk sometimes. But I mean, like video games, there are resources out there for what kind of games are really good and what kind of games are really bad. You just gotta know how to find them. That's all.
Yeah. Well, so what I sneak peeped his profile on BoardGameGeek.com to look at his wish list and see what he doesn't have, what he doesn't. And so I got something that just came out right before, because he was like, "This just came out. How did you know this was coming out?" I'm pretty sure he was super impressed. Pretty sure I impressed my dad a lot.
Well done, well done. But funny you should mention all this. There is a way that you could know these kind of things. I just started a YouTube channel called Masters of Boredom, where me and my buddy CJ actually are doing three kinds of board game videos. The first is a how to play. The second is a long play, so you can actually see the entire game and see how it's played out. And also we go for, you know, banter, as we do. And then finally the review, where we actually talk about the game and what we actually think about it in deeper terms. So, but we're going for a comedic bent, and so far it's gone really well.
But now we can't talk about, if we don't air this podcast, then we're not gonna be able to talk about this.
Air the hell of it. It's fine. I'll apologize to Chaotic Fusion until the cows come home if I spoke out of turn. I love those guys, and hopefully they love me. So, you know, I'm sure we'll work it out. But I didn't say anything was guaranteed. Nothing is guaranteed. It's a possibility. It would be really cool if the card game would wind up in the game. But if not, I'm still planning on releasing it for free for the Tex Murphy fans to download and print on their own, unless Big Finish has other plans for it.
That sounds reasonable.
They own the rights. It's theirs to do with as they wish. But the absolute worst I would be allowed to do would just be to give it away for free. So, and they have yet to, they know it exists, and they have yet to send me a cease and desist letter. So I'm feeling pretty confident that they'll be cool with me just giving it away for free if they don't want to do anything else with it.
You're golden. It's a done deal.
But the thing is, the game engine, I love the game engine so much that even if they don't want to sell it or anything, or don't want to put it in the card game, I will give that away for free, and then I can turn around and turn that game engine into another game based on something completely original, and then maybe I'd actually be able to sell something, put it on store shelves, and maybe you could buy it for your dad next Christmas.
Okay, get me a discount. Late night Magfest shenanigans, Saturday night. Pantsless Aaron on GOG.com. Thank you so much for letting us know what you're up to, buddy.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sorry that wasn't terribly sexy, so let me make up for it. Erection.
Okay, go for it.
Erection, wetness, and boobs.
Not Barry White voice.
Erection. I can't remember what I said.
Boobs was one of them. I got the boobs.
Boobs.
Good enough. We're done. Thanks, everybody.